Thank you for the beautiful singing this morning. We shall preach the gospel. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we sure thank you for another day. We thank you that it's mild this morning and we feel good in here and not overbearingly hot. We just thank you for giving us a place to preach for 16 years. We thank you for those who allow us to be here at no cost. We thank you for those who come and support our ministry where we can live a decent life and wear decent clothes and drive decent cars. I never take that for granted. It's a gift from you, and I appreciate it. And as you know, I thank you every day for that. We thank you for those who are faithful in coming to learn the Word of God and how they study on their own and how they go and hear Jack teach. And people are still willing to find out what God has to say because it's getting late and we need to spread the word. Thank you for my friend Joe Mullins and his gift, and that'll be a continual gift until you come, that we can pass out the information that indeed people need to find out where they're going to spend eternity. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for dying for us and giving us the opportunity to live with you forever. Forgive me if I say the wrong things or if I hurt anybody's feelings. I certainly don't mean to. But the sin of the world and condition of our world and our country can get you very upset when you love holiness and righteousness. Be with me and give me an unction from on high today, if you would. Fill me with your spirit that I may preach the gospel truth. And may the Lord be glorified, the church be edified, and the man nearest hell be saved this morning. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, Revelation is a very difficult book, as you know. And Revelation 19, 17 is what I'm going to read this morning. No, starting at 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. This, of course, is John talking. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's the name of Jesus, is it not? And righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture and dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of course that is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So John is describing here the Armageddon situation. How many have heard about the Armageddon? Is there anybody who hadn't? You know now that Armageddon is on the TV, on the movies. Hollywood talks more about Armageddon now through their movies than most churches do. They say, well, Revelation is too deep and too symbolic. No, it isn't. It tells you at the very first of it, it's the only book in the Bible that if you read, it will give you a blessing. Only one. I'd start reading it if I was you. Get a commentary that goes with it. Find out what it says. But it's talking about here the battle of Armageddon. And we all do the same thing, do we not? Turn everything upside down or get half the message. There is no battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon is a series of battles that will run up and down it. Israel to full 200 miles. It will be fought primarily at the plains of Megiddo. It really isn't Armageddon. That's what we say in the English. The pronunciation is really Har Megiddon. Har is mountain in the Jewish language, and Har Megiddon is the plains of Jezreel, the mountain of Megiddo, and there's a plain there, field, goes forever. Napoleon, the great general of war, new war, of course, stood there and looked at it, and he said, this is the most perfect place for a world war. He said the whole world could gather their armies here and do battle one with another. He wasn't a Bible scholar, nor did he care much about the Bible. However, he got that right. Because the Bible said that is where this is going to be fought. And isn't that strange that everything started over there in Jerusalem, the Holy Land we call it. And I have a friend who is an atheist and a lawyer. And so we discuss biblical matters sometime, and it gets rather heated, but we maintain our cool. And I showed him last time we talked, I said, look at this. It started right here, Jerusalem, on the world map, and went like this. And the gospel story has encircled the entire earth and has come right back to where it started. Do you really think that's just good luck or coincidence? God doesn't do things by coincidence. So the Bible tells us he is going to bring the countries, and it's so wonderful to me where we read about the fowls eating the people after they're dead. My dad wrote a book in the 1940s called When the Vultures Eat the Dictators. It's a very interesting book, and it was on this subject and explained what's going to happen and what Armageddon's all about, why it's going to be, where it's going to be, and who's going to be in it. People thought it was crazy. They don't now. For I've preached here and will again on Ezekiel 38 and 39. You read that when you get home. Ezekiel 38 and 39. And then watch your nightly news and you'll see the same countries mentioned. He told us a couple thousand years ago exactly what was going to take place. I cannot understand how a man, if he's just a gambler, not a Christian, he just likes to gamble. Any gambler worth his salt, you said, look, this book has 1,000 prophecies in it, a few more, but 1,000. 500 have already come true to the man, to the country, to the kingdom, to the death, to whatever's going on, whatever it prophesies, every one of them have come true when they were supposed to come true. The next 500 aren't going to be visible to you and I because we're going to be gone. I got some real good news for you this morning. The battles of Armageddon take place after the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation. Before the tribulation starts, if I haven't been sent for before then, I'm going home. I don't care what you do on the plains of Megiddo. I'm going to be there. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you aren't either. He tells us over and over that I will keep you out of that hour of wrath, We're talking about the wrath of God here. When you read the 21 judgments in Revelation, about chapter 19, there are 21 different judgments coming against the earth. And you read them, they're not symbolic. They're going to happen. And you wonder how anybody could live through any one of them. But to live through all 21 is going to take a miracle, and there will be a few live through the tribulation and Armageddon and get saved and go into the millennial kingdom. But stress and fear, it shouldn't be part of your life. We have no fear of what Iran gets. We have no fear. If they attack a Jerusalem or not, Jerusalem will take care of itself. Plus, Jerusalem has a big brother who you best not pull on Superman's cape. Because he said, when it happens, and he calls all the nations of the world to Megiddo, and they battle each other, and it gets so furious and so bad that they're fighting against each other, and they're even turning on their brothers, not knowing who they're fighting. Complete derision, complete craziness. And you say, well, the world can't get that way. Is that right? Then why did we just make it possible for Iran to get a nuclear weapon? And just in case they don't have enough money to hit us with it, we're sending them several billion dollars. We certainly don't want them to lose their weapons they got from us. Have we gone totally mad or what? We have gone totally insane as a nation. Isn't that sad? Is it news? No. The Bible said, I will have them in derision. That means they don't know what to do. When you watch the news, I'm sure it drives you crazy. I watch people that we are fighting, shooting back at us from our tanks. I said, wait a minute, I don't think this is the way you play the game. Do you? And we will support them with money because they're having a hard time and they're about to make concessions to us. The only concession we got was they agreed to take the money. We have gone crazy politically. The Bible is correct when it says man will do anything for money. And I sat and cried the other day. I really am a very nice, kind person. And I'm sitting there watching a woman from Planned Parenthood eat her salad for lunch and drink a glass of wine and talk to a guy about selling him baby parts. Have we lost it completely or what? Then I see a sign on the way to church, neon sign, beautiful thing. God bless America. And I often say, I'd like to hear God's answer to that. And you can't speak for the Almighty, but from what you know about Him, I'm afraid if I said, God bless America, He'd look at me and say, why? I did bless you. I let you be in a country where nobody could get to you. I got oceans and ice between you and any other country. For years, nobody could get to you. And look what you did for me. I made you the wealthiest nation on earth. And what did you do for me? By the way, we're not jumping on you, and you folks do support us. We almost pay the bills every month. But the average churchgoer in America gives $10 a month to the church. Are you kidding me? And then you say, Lord, please bless me and bless the pastor. Give him some food. We're not going to buy him any, but you take care of him. And you say, I'm not here for your money. Several weeks this summer, I don't get paid. I take a couple of $100 a week out of what you give me and what Ann can't see me getting. And I buy gas with that and a few groceries and hit golf balls, do the things all little boys like to do. But I made more when I worked at 7-Eleven. Not here for me to make money, but we have to have money to make this thing go. And people will say, well, the preachers are always talking about money. You go open one. You go preach. You preach by faith, no salary, no agreement to any human being. Go preach by faith for 16 years. Let's see how you do. And you're going to fuss at me? I don't think so. We have good people here who support our work, and one fella comes in late all the time. He gets here late because he's not from around here, and he'll give me a little money every Sunday. And you don't need to know what he gives me. I take it to Miss Ann, and I told him the other Sunday, I said, I just want to thank you for what you do and let you know how important the money you give me every Sunday is. You give a third of what comes in here every Sunday. Shame on somebody. Shame on somebody. Isn't that awful? Yeah. Not about money. H. Lee lets us be here free. If he didn't do that, we couldn't have church. We'd have no place to go. They do everything they can, and we got a singing stage now. If you feel like you got a song in you, jump up there. And then they got more rides than you can ride out here. See, I have no bone to pick with the man that puts the rides up there. H. Lee gets paid for it. But the man that puts them up there and gets the big money and backs it all is a millionaire. Several times over. He's a Christian. Why do you have to take up all the church's parking lot for one more teacup ride that nobody rides? I mean, you think you're really going to make up what you owe God on your merry-go-round? I got some bad news for you. Isn't that sad? I got a little lady here who has no job. She's beyond working. She's over 90 years old. And she'll write a check for $25 a week. And I get people who I know are retired, and I know where they live, and I know what they drive, and I know where they go, and I know what they drink. And they put two of them big old dollars in the briefcase and really think they've done something. How sad. But that's not what it's all about. You're not buying your way to heaven. You can't. Helping me won't help you. Helping us here will help somebody get saved because we preach the gospel. And you can't come in these doors Sunday morning and not find out that Jesus saves. Everything we do, and thank Joe Mullins, God bless Joe. Gonna give us 3,000 of these anytime I pick up the phone. Anytime. Joe need 3,000, I'll have him in the mail Friday. Let's see. I don't know how many people that'll reach. It won't reach any if we don't give them out. God bless Joe for giving them out. And if we give 3,000 a week out and only bring one person to Christ, guess who won? We did. The most important thing you can do on this earth is bring somebody to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is secondary. Everything else. And had the church understood that, And we had done that, then maybe when we say, God bless America, he'd say, absolutely, you're doing a good job. When one little man can give out 30 million of these, gives them out in Hindu, gives them out in Chinese, mails them everywhere, and says, give these out, get the word out, it's about over, we're going to have to get the word out. Over 90 years old. That's a saint of God, isn't it? That's a man who loves the Lord. I used to see my daddy do that, and I really didn't understand. Now we're going to find out that there's several things happened during the Battle of Armageddon. And if you want to write some references down, go ahead. It isn't necessary. The assembling of the allies of the Antichrist is going to take place. What's going to make Russia and the Arabs come down on Jerusalem? What's Russia got to do with it? What's their problem? Last week, they signed an agreement with the Arabs. Now we got Russia and the Arabs to worry about. People say, well, I mean, you know, we have such an arsenal. We do have such an arsenal. I got bad news for those that aren't saved, because it ain't going to bother me. Russia has enough nuclear weapons to wipe humanity from the face of the earth. So does America. So does Israel. If that thing breaks out, when it breaks out, you better not be here. It's going to affect everybody. I get a lot of laughs out of the commercials on TV. The programs aren't worth a hoot. You've seen them selling the food you mix water with. Prepper.
You may not be a prepper now, but you'll be one someday.
It reminds me of the Dr. Pepper thing. I'm a pepper, you're a pepper, we're a pepper too. Son, where are you going to get your water after a nuclear war starts? Do you not understand all the lakes, all the rivers, all the ocean, and all the rain will be spreading radiation around the world? There won't be any water worth drinking. And if you drink it, it will burn your insides out. That's what happens when you die from radiation. There's no escaping that kind of stuff. But God said, I'm going to bring Russia and the Arabs together, and everybody poo-pooed it. The liberals, well, that's all symbolic. Yeah, when they drop a bomb on your head, you'll think it's symbolic. See, we're not ready. America's not ready. America's not a Christian nation anymore. We are no semblance of a Christian nation anymore. Charlotte, North Carolina, Joe, when he called, he said, call me when you get the silver things, Beaver. Tell me you got them. And I called. He said, are you, he lives in Hickory. And he said, are you going to believe what I read in the paper today? Or what was it? The head man of the Charlotte Police Department, I don't know whether he's called a superintendent or whatever, but he's the man that gets to tell the chaplains what they can say and the visiting speakers what they can and can't say. So last week he issues an order that you can mention the name of God. That'll be fine if you want to do that. Oh, well, thank you. But do not mention the name of Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute, sir. You're a public servant. You live in supposedly a Christian nation. You probably go to church. If we ask you, you'd probably tell us that, yes, I'm a Christian. No, you aren't. When you turn against Christ, it's too late for you. You're gone. It's over. And people who don't want to agree with us what this book says, it's over for you. I quit arguing and debating with folks like that. I said, partner, Jesus Christ said just the opposite of what you're telling me. And by what you're telling me you believe, you are telling me you believe Jesus is a liar. Is that what you mean by what you say? Because if you call Christ a liar, I don't care how many times you've been down to an altar, dunked in a tub, sprinkled, had powder put it on you, whatever, you lost. You'll not call the only begotten Son of God a liar and expect to go to heaven. You're lost. You better do something about it. Well, I'm so glad for these little things. That's all you need to know. The 33,000 plus a few verses in the Scripture, Old and New Testament. 33,000. That one's the one you only have to know. You don't have to have a memory course. You don't have to have a Bible course. You don't have to go to seminary. Do go to church to learn more about the Scripture and to worship God. That's why you go to church. But that's all the information you need to know to go to heaven. For God so loved the world. One of the great preachers of old said, there is not now nor will there ever be a preacher of the gospel who can fully expound John 3:16. Can fully get the full meaning of what that verse stands for. For God so loved the world. I say, why did he bother with the world? I mean, if I knew you were going to turn on me, kill all my people, eventually kill 4,000 babies a week, if I knew that about you, I wouldn't want anything to do with you. He came anyway. He died anyway. For people like you and people like me. It's hard to get by those few words, is it not? So after tribulation, Armageddon, destruction of Bible, destruction of Babylon is talked about in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zechariah, and Revelation. Is that talking about Babylon the city? I don't think so. I think it's talking about spiritual Babylon and the government, governmental Babylon. That's what I think it's about. They're going to be destroyed. And if Jesus says something's going to be destroyed, believe me, it's going to be destroyed. The fall of Jerusalem in Micah 4:11. The armies of the Antichrist. He's coming. You don't hear much about him anymore. We're too interested in Godzilla and that group. But the Antichrist is probably walking today in the wings, ready to take over. Say, well, how can things fall that fast? How did things fall as fast as they have in the last 20 years? I don't even recognize my country anymore. The people in Washington who claim to represent the people, they certainly don't represent me. They don't represent Christianity. They represent something else. They're trying to get the one world government. You can see that by watching the news. They're trying to get one world religion. I have no doubt they'll come for me one day, if the Lord doesn't come in a hurry. Because I'm not going to quit preaching. And I'm not going to quit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to fail to worship him. I shall not hesitate to tell you the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. Well, I don't understand that. Well, I didn't either at one time. He's a hypostatic being. He's not half man and half God. He's 100% man and 100% God. And don't try to figure that out for lunch either. You can't. But that's who he is. He's called a theanthropic being. That's diving into the deep end of the pool, isn't it? We don't hear much of that. That's who he is. That's who he was. How do you know? Because the Jews came to him and said, "We're going to stone you, buddy." Talking to him in the street. He said, wait a minute. Why are you going to stone me? For the works I do? I mean, I'm raising the dead. I'm healing the sick. I'm making the blind see. And you're going to kill me for that? And they said, "No, we're not going to kill you for that. We're going to stone you because you're telling people you're God. And to us, that's blasphemy. And if you blaspheme God, to us, we are bound to kill you." They didn't understand. They were talking to God, so he told them. He said, "Wait a minute. If you do not believe that I am," meaning the Yehovistic Jehovah of the Old Testament, who the Jews worshipped, "if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Throw your rock if you want to. But I'm him. Your rock will never reach me. I'm scheduled to be crucified by you later. I'm not going to be healed by a rock." And shook, he was gone. The Bible said he disappeared through the crowd. How? How do you disappear through a crowd if you're not God? He got Philip in the boat with him. They were doing a little fishing. Philip hadn't got sense enough to know who he's with. "Let's go fishing, Lord." Lord said, "Okay, well, I'll go with you." Philip didn't know he could call all the flounder he wanted in the front of the boat and be going home and cook them. Had no idea who was sitting across from him. So Philip says, "Lord, I'm a follower of you." "Yeah, I know. Please show us the Father." Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, you're looking at the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Do you understand that?" And see, we don't. I'll guarantee you 50% of the people you know have no idea that Jesus is God. 50%. Ask them, because they better know. On the other side of this coin, it isn't printed. It just says in little old letters down at "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" John 3:36. John 3:36. Read this to your friend who doesn't believe. I can find my plate. Gets quiet when you get talking about the end, don't it? John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life," has it now. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You think it's cute to not be a believer? You think being politically correct is more important than telling the story of Jesus to somebody? Do you really care what anybody lost thinks of you? And if so, please meet me afterwards and tell me why. You don't need them. They need you. They need you to give them the word. I don't care how you give it. It's real easy. Somebody will pick it up. So I just gave one to Freddie. He gave it to Mary. It's not hard. That's what we need to do. You see, Jesus is depending on me and you to get the word out. You talk about faith. He's got some faith, hasn't he? Well, I don't have time. Well, I can't talk to people. Did I talk to Freddie or just throw something at him? Okay. Drop a handful on the beach. They'll be picked up within an hour. I wonder what that is. Leave them on the table. The waitress don't leave them instead of a tip, but you leave them with a big one. Right? Easy to give out. That makes you a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we're all supposed to be. Everybody. It's not just for preachers. Well, I think the Lord has called me. If the Lord calls you, you'll know it. How will I know? Because nothing else will work till you do it. That's why. If He's called you, you better do what He said. You're not playing a game with somebody. The armies of the Antichrist, he'll be at Basra. There'll be a war there. The national regeneration of Israel happens after then, in Zechariah, in Joel, in Isaiah, in Hosea. Did you notice all this in the Old Testament talking about what's going to happen in the New? Thank you. The second coming of Jesus Christ is going to happen. The rapture of the church before Armageddon. If not, I've got to go through the tribulation. And the Lord said, I'm going to keep you out of that. He didn't say, I'm going to keep you through it. He said, I'm going to keep you out of it. You're not going to be part of that. Why, you really don't believe a bunch of people are going to just fly up in the air sometime, do you? Yeah. Why would you believe that? Because Jesus already did it. Elijah already did it. Ezekiel already did it. It's already been six raptures. You just didn't pay attention. One day, and we'll sing it and get Donnie excited. He jumps up here singing, I'll fly away. And gets there, but he gets to jumping up and down and the way it ought to be. There is no excuse for an unhappy Christian. No excuse. You got eternity to look forward to. That's what it is. I was at the grocery store yesterday and down to buy low. And I heard some music, and it wasn't today's music. So I wanted to know what was going on. And they had a lady on a keyboard and a black man playing the guitar at the Bilo. And I went by, I said, I just want to thank you for knowing what real music is. And they smiled and said, thank you. And I put something in their tip jar. And I said, I want to give you one of these. Read it when you get home. And the guitar man wouldn't listen. He'd read his now. So he's hollering at me. He said, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Big smile on his face. I said, amen. Amen. He'll pass it on. He'll tell somebody. If you do not believe that we're getting out of here, you're calling Jesus Christ a liar. He said he was going to come get us. Now, most churches today preach amillennialism. That's there's not going to be a tribulation. There's not going to be a millennium. They're wrong. Well, how do you know so much? Well, I can read, first of all. And the Bible tells me that Jesus is coming. And we read it a while ago. He's going to be on a white horse. His angels and those saved are going to be behind him. They own white horses. Now understand, unless you've gone completely crazy, you don't dress an army in white. They'll be shot on the first go-round. Unless in Alaska on that ski patrol thing. Right? You dress them in camouflage, right? You dress them in dark clothing so they can not be seen. He dresses his in white, fine linen, it says. That's no way to go into battle, is it? Yeah, remember I said they were behind him? They can dress like that to go to war because they're not going to have to fight. We're not going to have to fight the Antichrist and his armies. We're not going to have to be part of that. We don't fire one shot. Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, he who is, was, and ever shall be, can speak one word, and all those armies, you could do. Dead, dead. You really believe that? Yeah. You don't? Well, stay lost and stay here for Armageddon and let a nuclear bomb take you out. Help yourself. Well, you aren't very tolerant. I'm not tolerant at all. Well, you aren't politically correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. There is one Lord, not a bunch of them. There's one faith, that's the Christian faith, the faith in the one Lord. And one baptism, that's when the Holy Spirit of God baptizes you into the family of God and nobody can take you out. Done deal. Sealed by the Savior. The Lord God Almighty has claimed me as His. You gonna take me out of His hand? Best of luck. You gonna fight Him, are you? Stand up. Well, I'll tell Him you won't do anything but grovel on your face and say, Lord, be merciful unto me. That's all you gonna say. Because that's all I'm gonna say. People will ask me, Beaver, what do you think you'll say when you see Jesus? I say, I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to say thank you, and then I'm going to cry. To think of what all He did for me, how in the world am I going to look in His eyes and see the holes in His hands and not cry? It was that man. It was those holes. It was that blood that did away with all my sin, as you sang a while ago, Miss Truxler. Gone. Never to be brought up again, the Bible says. No account has to be given by a Christian. His accounting page has been marred by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't even read what he was guilty of. It don't happen. What a God. What a Savior. So we got to tell some folks about Him. And I know it's hard to be a public speaker, and I know it's hard to speak in front of two or three people. My wife knows her Bible and is a fine Christian lady and will do anything for the Lord except say something. She said, I just can't do it. She said, don't you ever call me up there to say three words. I'll faint. I understand that. It's a very, very, it's the hardest thing in the world. Business executives around the world said the hardest thing for them to do was to take three steps and get on a podium and make a speaking announcement of any kind to a crowd of people. Scares them to death. I mean, he'll be a doctor, cut your heart out, talk about golf while he's doing it. Send you home, everything's fine, but he ain't going to make a speech. They become Porky Pig. I don't know what it is, but maybe you're like that. Don't worry, the person next to you is too. It's hard to do. See? We don't know why it's so hard, because once you do it, it becomes fun. But we don't tell everybody, because they'll take our job. Some of the best witnesses I ever met were tongue-tied. You couldn't hardly understand a word they said, but they'd leave you with a track. I've heard people preach you couldn't understand one word they said. Oh, Dr. Seichler in Greenville, I love him, and whoever doesn't like me telling stories, you can go to sleep now. Oh, Dr. Seichler, such a good man of God, and preached in that pulpit in Greenville for about 30 years before God called him home. And he'd hold revivals and Bible conferences, and you know, Freddie. And he told somebody at a Bible conference, he said, I may not be able to do this next year. I'm getting older. I'm getting weak. He told me personally, he said, Brother Greenway, I'm going to stay behind that pulpit as long as I can keep a thought. I said, you stay there. But the preacher he was talking to said, Dr. Seichler, I don't live here. As you know, I live hundreds of miles from here. But if you decide you just want to come and stand in that pulpit and say nothing, just you being there, I'll drive 200 miles and sit there and listen till you get through standing. Just your presence is godly. You know anybody like that? Okay. Yeah. I mean, they walk in a room, and you know. You walk in a room. It used to take me 30 minutes to get from the front of Harold's to the back years ago. Hey, Beaver, good to see you. Here we go. I can do it in 30 seconds now. You don't talk to him. He's a Jesus freak. Stay away from him. Joe Mullins, my good friend, he said, yeah, I went to the high school reunion. I don't know which one it was. It was a big number. But I went to the high school reunion, and I could hear them saying, don't go near Mullins. He's a Jesus freak. Isn't that nice to call you an ugly name because you love somebody who died for you? Isn't the world foolish? It's already gone to hell in a handbag. We don't have to worry about it going. We're already there. Already there. However, good news, we don't have to be in the battle of Armageddon. The Russians and the Jews and the Arabs and the nomads and the yes, mads and all the other mad mads, they're going to come down on Jerusalem. Well, look how small it is. It's half as big as South Carolina. We'll just run two nuclear weapons. We can wipe that place out. This is going to be something. We're ready now. Go ahead and plan. Because his brother's going to be there too. And with one word, oh, that's over. Every bit of it, it's over. Was anything ever happened like that before? Yeah, read your Bible. You remember when they came to arrest Jesus? And they brought a bunch of people with clubs and spears and lanterns, and they came at night, and Judas was going to show which one he was. You didn't have to bring a lamp. The glow of his person, you'd have known who he was. And 300 to 600 people came with all that thing. And Jesus said, what's up with this? They said, what? You stick. Come back to me with a stick. Where were you when I was preaching at the synagogue last week? You didn't have a stick then. I know some of you. I see your face. I know who you are. You just came on in and I preached and you went home and that was it. Why you got to come at night with a stick? And they started all that, well, you see. You know, the well you sees. Well, you see. And the Bible said he looked at them and they fell as if they were dead. 300 to 600 of them. Shook. No bullet, no gun. No gas, just him. Well, how can he do that? I already told you, he's God. He can do anything he wants to. Everything, all things, this book says, were made by him and for him. All things. I don't question that. If he does have a spare second when I get there, I do want to know why gnats. You know, Lord, just one question. Why gnats? I mean, you know, I can't find a use for a gnat. They'll aggravate you to death. I already know the answer. He said, that's just to test your cussing. Just a little, you know. So we sing the old songs here as much as we can. And that's why I love the old songs. They have doctrine in them. Sang one this morning. Your blood did it. I don't need four drums and six guitars. I need somebody that loves Jesus saying, your blood did it. I need somebody to stand up and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And when they sing it, tears are in their eyes because they can't help it. They don't mean to, but they can't help it. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love the old songs of the church. I think as many people were saved by the old songs of the church as they were by the preaching. You listen and read those songs. Oh, how he loves me. My goodness. I love to hear the Gaithers sing. They sing the old songs. They've written some beautiful new ones, but I got some CDs that Miss Ann bought me, and I listen to them, and it's the old country church CD. Sing nothing but old country song, and I'll put my pilot's hearing things on and cut it to where my little machine on, and then I'll go to sleep and pray, and I'll sleep hearing them singing the old gospel song. I said, isn't that good? Makes you think maybe if you go to heaven, they'll greet you with some old gospel songs, doesn't it? I know they're not going to greet you with any of this new stuff. So how do you stand today? You sure you can answer the question now? Where will you spend eternity? Like the good black fellow playing in his guitar at the grocery store, I can join him and say, I know where I'll spend eternity. That's why we don't want them to read it now and casually put it in their pocket. I said, Freddie, I want you to take this. It's the most important question you'll ever be asked. Okay? When you get home, read this question. And on the back, read the answer. Don't look at it now. Take it, put it in your pocket, and do that just for me. Will you do that? And most people will. It's to get people really thinking, because they don't think anymore about Armageddon and about Jesus dying and the resurrection and salvation and forgiveness of their sins. That used to be normal conversation. Now you're a Jesus freak if you start that stuff. See? And I'm proud to be one, and if you are, good. If you aren't, you need to join up today. You don't have to come up here. You just have to contemplate where you sit now. Where will I spend eternity? What if I died today? Where would I go? You need to answer that question in your head, not mine. You don't have to come up here. You can stay right where you are. And say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And I believe it's you. And today, I want to be a Jesus freak. I want to spend eternity with you, purified, washed in the blood, sins washed away, no sadness, no sickness, no unhappiness, forever to be in your presence. That's what I want. Will you please save me now? And wherever you sit, He'll do His part. And if you hadn't done that, I'm very sorry for you. But read your coin, get your handful over here before you leave. Give them to friends, neighbors, people you like, and even those you don't like. Everybody needs one chance to hear about Jesus. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for another tool we can use to tell people of the love of God. How can any of us, with our backgrounds and sin and thoughts and deeds, how can any of us expect you to love us? How could any of us really think we deserve to be bailed out of hell with your life? How can any of us who have ever sinned, and that's all of us, think we can find forgiveness in man? He's tried everything. Forgiveness only comes through you. So please be with the one who is here who has never accepted you as Savior today. Anybody watching on the webcam, we pray for them too. That what we do and what we say will reach somebody for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.
Victory.